Last week, maybe you guys probably don't know this guy I'm talking about, but his name is Marcelo. He is one of the eminent preachers on social media from one of the countries in Africa. Went on a mission trip, young wife, you know, mid-40s, our age, late-40s, healthy, beautiful, had nothing wrong physically, no signs of maybe she had a cold, no signs of unhealth, being unhealthy. He spoke to her the night before, went to bed. Next day, she didn't wake up. Devastated. So I got to think a little bit this week. You know, they always say when death, I mean, funeral is always a good time. I'm not gonna do a funeral sermon, all right? Don't worry, don't panic. But funeral is always a good time for us to reevaluate where we are in life. Because, you know, people like me, we probably think, oh, I'm young. You know, I probably, if I'm taking care of my body, if the Lord gives me grace, I might live to be 75. Because the Bible promised 70. So some of you are really being blessed because you're 83, 81, you know. So, but for young people, we don't think about death. You know, this morning I want to take this time, maybe like 2-3 minutes, to just go in your mind a little bit. I'll present this question to you and take it to heart. Are you ready to face eternity? Are you ready to die in plain English? Because believe me, if Jesus said, I must go where I go, where I'm going to prepare you a place, if he said it, it's true. Because I have heard people who said, well, man, you know what? After death, this is hell. Actually, as a matter of fact, I heard someone this week said it. Someone this week said, hell, there's no hell, there's no heaven. Hell is here. If you're going to experience heaven, you're going to experience your heaven here. Such person is deceived. They believe a lie. There is a hell. There is a heaven. But are you ready? Go deep in your heart. See if you are in Jesus. If you're not, repent of your sins, acknowledging Him. And for those of you who has been just Christians, good Christians, weak Christians, strong Christians, Christians with issues. We all have issues, right? Do not let the enemy make you think anybody else is perfect. Because sometimes we start comparing ourselves with the pastor, this sister, this brother. You know, you think, well, my life with the Lord is bad, is terrible. I've said it here before. Let me tell you this. Because I am a pastor, that doesn't give me any advantage on you to have a richer relationship with Christ than you. We both can have the same relationship with Jesus. And I like what it says here in this movie clip. It's Even Almighty. You can go and check it out. I don't want to make publicity for that movie. There's some good things and bad things in that movie too. Good theology and good and bad stuff. I don't agree with it. But there's that one little clip. I thought it goes hand in hand with what Scott was talking about last week. You know, when we pray for patience, do we think God gives us patience? Oh, Lord, give me patience. Lord, Father, give me. Or is God putting you in situation? Is God giving you opportunity to be patient? When you pray, you said, God, give me self-control. I mean, I thank God that in Acts, in Galatians chapter 5, it says the Holy Spirit gives self-control. So the Holy Spirit allows you to control yourself. So therefore, the responsibility to control yourself is not on the Holy Spirit. That responsibility is on you. Huh? I tell you, sometimes I wish there was a self-control pill. I don't know about you, but I'm talking seriously. I seriously wish there was a self-control pill. I would take it and done with it. Right? Then I would be like, all good, man. It's like the moment I feel like I'm losing my self-control, sometimes I'll take three at a time. I'll take three pills, three self-control pills at a time. But no, God will always bring opportunities for us to control ourselves. You see, the Holy Spirit wants you to become powerful people. Now, powerless people, a powerless mindset, someone with a powerless mindset, you always want to blame somebody else for your choices. Oh, it's because I grew up poor. Let me tell you this. I grew up in a family, when I was growing up, I didn't know any lack. You know, I thought I had everything. As a matter of fact, you know, I talk about my father. My father was working. My mom was the homemaker. She took care of us. We always had good clothes. We actually went to private schools. I didn't even know such a thing existed then. I didn't even know a public school existed. I thought every school was a private school. Until my parents separated. So here is my dad. He was the bring food, providing everything. And now the separation kind of destroyed everything. And my dad disowned not only my mom, but he disowned us. And then here, me and my brothers and sisters, we couldn't pay school anymore. My goal was to be a teacher. I wanted to go to college to be a teacher, a science, physics teacher, because I was really good in math and physics in school. That's what I wanted to do. But then in 12th grade and in 11th grade, my family dismantled. I suffered hunger. I saw this. I don't know if I said it here before. Did you know, I watched somebody find one of my old sermon in Haiti, and they posted a short clip, and I remember that this past week. There was a time in my life I went to a pier in Haiti to commit suicide. I know some of you are like, man, I can't believe, sometimes you say you used to be a terrible person, you used to not like people. Let me tell you this. This is what Jesus does in your heart when you give him your heart. He changes you. That's why if anyone is in Christ, that person must be renewed. You must be able to testify you are a new creation on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis. You should be able to defer, make the difference between your old life and your new life. And you know the hopeful thing? I am growing from glory to glory. I'm growing from glory to glory. That's the hope. That's why God, Scott talked about it. God wants you to grow spiritually. Why? Because in your situation, he's giving you opportunities. Even in your sufferings. Because Jesus never promised us good life on this earth. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But I'll give you my peace. In this world, you will have sickness. In this world, you will have people who doesn't understand you. In this world, you would have people who mistreated you. In this world, you would have friends who betrayed you. But what choice do you have? You do have a choice. That's why I believe what was spoken here last week is a clear confirmation for us as a congregation to go to the next level. The level of it's not enough to just wear the label Christian and be ashamed of who you are, because I don't want people to disown me. If it would be for where I grew up, I would be the biggest loser because there was no opportunity. After I was done with high school, I couldn't go to college. As a matter of fact, my last year of high school, you know, family dismantled, I couldn't go to school. I remember, I'm like, well, I'm going to go to a cheap school. I went to a cheap school, but that cheap school was too cheap. I was just like, it's not working for me. So I jumped from that school the second week. I went to another school. So I would sign myself into a school. Had no idea how I'm going to pay the school. Still today, I'm thinking, I think that's where my mind goes. I think that person was an angel because I don't remember that person. It was a lady from our church. I still can't remember her. So school started in September in Haiti. September, October, November, December, January. So you have to pay every semester. And then you had to pay the entry. So every time they would come to the class or the principal or people responsible for the finance would come to the class trying to find students who were not paid. Somehow I would work myself out of the class. Go to the bathroom, or, you know, and then I would wait, be out there, I would wait until they're out. So I would manage myself to be in the school for 4 months without paying. I remember private school. I remember in recess, during recess, I'm hungry. I didn't think about it. I should have posted a picture of me, what I looked like when I got married. I'm still trying to remain skinny because I was really skin and bone. Looked terrible. Didn't eat. On top of it, I would go to a place. Let's say, you know, I had friends. I'd go to a place and that person would have food because they're my friend. They give me a sandwich. And then that sandwich, I couldn't eat it because I had 3 younger brothers. And sister at home. And I would take it home. I would divide it in just a little peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So when I'm worshiping the Lord, please don't ask questions because you don't know where I've been. You don't know where I've been. You don't know why I'm worshiping Jesus. You don't know. When I'm worshiping God, the way I'm so in love about Him, I have a story. I know where I've come from. I know if it wasn't for the love, the grace of God, I wouldn't be the man I am today. That's why I'm challenging you. This is the time to make the choice. This is the time to make the line in the sand. Say, this is my line. Because if you don't do that, you know what's going to happen to you? It might be too late. You get offended. The truth will offend you. If it was for where I grew up, I would be the biggest loser. But I thank God. I thank God. Because in my desperation, I heard somebody talk about the Bible. Read the Bible for the first time. Before that, I told you, I went to the pier. I wanted to commit suicide. I'm looking at myself. I was down there. I'm like, man, life's terrible. I'm suffering. I'm not eating. My siblings are so skinny. We're not eating. That's how terrible it was. I saw no hope. So I went down there, I'm like, I'm going to kill my first time. I mean, the enemy was in my mind. I'm like, I had no access to guns or I didn't know poison or anything like that. I figured the best thing I can do is just jump. I went there and I'm like, I'm ready to jump. And I heard the voice of the Lord. It's like, no, Ricardo, no. No, that's not your life. And somehow I came to my senses. That's why I prayed earlier that the Holy Spirit will bring you to your senses. Bring you to your senses and surrender. Because in surrender, you will experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. In surrender, you will experience whatever life brought at you. You will experience His peace in the middle of the storm. So I went home, I don't know who I told. And then the next day I went to school. So finally they caught me. I was like, end of January, they caught me. Because I knew it was going to get to that place. Because I've been dodging the principal for months. So finally I'm like, someday, it's coming soon. But I felt like I had hope, but I didn't know where. My hope was in the Lord, obviously. So I prayed, I said, God, that summer I encountered Jesus to a new level because I started reading the Bible. I grew up in church. I was baptized in water and never knew Jesus. Because I was just doing the church thing. Until 1996, I started reading the Bible, the word in Matthew. Then I realized, I'm like, oh man, I'm not a believer. You see, when you look into this perfect law, you will be able to see where your life is. That's why I keep telling you, you must read the Bible. You must read the Bible. Don't take my word or people's word for it. Listen to podcasts. It's all good to do. But read the word for yourself. So then they sent me home. They're like, well, Ricardo, we finally get... they find me. They said, you can't come back until you pay. So, oh, who find this? Who found this? Ryan said that this. Guys, this is me in 1998. 97? So there it is. Didn't plan about that. See, Kendra looks so innocent. Yeah, it's 1997. That's the year after I encountered Jesus. And then I mean, you see, even smiling, I did a little smile. I never smile. I was serious. I was a serious man. So, okay, they sent me home. I went home, but I had hope. I said, Lord, all my dreams, all my plans, I give my life to you, Lord. Because right now I've got no family. I've got no parents. My mom is devastated. My dad, I haven't seen him. I have no one to help me. So I said, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I went to church. There's this lady. Guys, still today, I'm trying to figure out who she was. This lady found me in church. She said, hey, Ricardo, where have you been? I said, well, you know, I've been kind of not going to church for a couple weeks because I was maybe discouraged or whatever. She's like, I've been looking for you. Every time I come here, I've been looking for you. I said, yeah, I'm here today. She's like, here. She had an envelope. Guys, I still don't know her name. And I still can't remember her face. But I remember the person. And then I took the envelope. I counted. She paid the entry, the school entry, the past 4 months until all the way up to May. What the Lord has done. And I tell you, my life grew from glory to glory. I can tell you stories about where the Lord, what the Lord has done, and where the Lord took us, and brought us in the level of relationship we have. That's why I love Jesus. I have a relationship with Him. I know Him. I've seen His work. That's why I'm telling you, if you don't make a decision to be serious about your walk with the Lord, don't look to the left, to the right, to the left. Don't focus on people. Because people will fail you. People will fail you. So if you prayed, go back to that short clip. If you prayed for courage, does God give you courage? But does he give you opportunity to be courageous? I believe he does give you opportunity to be courageous. Moving forward, what will be your choices? You know, if someone pray for family, for their family to be closer, is he giving you opportunity for you and your family to be closer to them? To show them love? You know, last Sunday I said, our brother here, he reminded us as a congregation, God's taking us to the next level. This weekend I was thinking, no wonder I've been meditating. God's been taking me into the Holy of Holies. He's like, prayer, prayer. A couple weeks ago I talked to you about the hindrance of prayer. The things that would prevent God answering your prayer. You remember what it was? One of them? I talk about it. It was sin. Because sin separates you from God. And I want to read from Matthew. If you have your Bible, you don't have to go there. But if you can, Matthew, or take notes. You know, in your bulletins, guys, we always make room in the back of your bulletins to take notes. And I noticed some of you, you've been bringing your God's notebook to church. Bring it. Take notes. You know, because the words are awesome. The words, or unless you go online and listen, the words, they go, they fly. But if you take notes, you know, last week, that's what I did. I took notes. Kendra took notes. It was amazing for me to sit and looking forward to having more of you guys to bring the Lord's word and for me to sit and listen to. It's a good habit to take notes. Matthew chapter 10 verse 32, it says, everyone who acknowledges me, Jesus is talking, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge them before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me on earth, I will also deny them in heaven in front of my Father. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. Man, listen to this, guys. Don't imagine that I bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I know a lot of people, they don't want others to know they're so devoted to God because they don't want people to disown them. You know, sometimes when you choose to follow Jesus seriously, people will disown you. Not because you want that. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. So if you think I come to bring peace, watch it. Because once you really choose to follow him, I mean, it's just like, for me here, if I want to honor the Lord, unless everyone in the congregation is on the same line or growing in the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, there are some things I might say here that offend people. And then when they're offended, they're going to leave. But then if we all are growing together, if we all are growing together, yeah, we rub shoulders. Yeah, you offend me, I offend you. We talk about it and we move, right? Talk about, we see what I'm saying? Talk about it and we move. We grow together. It says, I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or your mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or your daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. In other words, don't let anything take God out of you. Not even your children. Your husband. You know, you say, honey, I love you. You know, I want you to come to church with me. Well, you don't want to. I'll see you in a couple hours, baby. I love you. Don't let anything else, anyone else, take God's place in your life. Because here is the word of the Lord. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Anybody here? Well, you must take up your cross. You must forget about yourself. You know what that means? That means sometimes when God gives you, put you in a situation to be so, when God gives you an opportunity, For that opportunity to grow your character, let that opportunity or situation kills you. Oh my goodness. Because sometimes you know you're right. And you know what you're saying is right. But because of your relationship with the Lord and the revelation you have of God's love, you accept to take the blame. That's not easy. You accept to walk away. That's not for powerless people. A person with powerful mindset, take responsibility, fight for relationship, until the other person tells you, you know what, go fly a kite, leave me alone. Yeah, then you got to respect that. I'll always fight for relationship until I have the sense they want me gone. Some people, they don't have the courage to tell you that, but you'll have the sense. Then you find your peace. Let them be. With open heart, open arms. Right? Never close your heart. Even if they spat on it, stabbed it. Never close your heart. I don't know whatever situation. Never close your heart. Never close your heart. Always keep that heart open. And the arms open. When they come to their senses, you're like, yeah, like the prodigal father, right? Man, I've been waiting on you. Praise the Lord. Man, let's not even talk about the past. And then you know what they're gonna be like the prodigal son. Man, I'm so sorry. I wish I would have known better. You're like, yes, I know, but look what the Lord's doing now. Look what he's doing now. That's the way of the kingdom. And God's calling us to the ways of the kingdom. Anyone who receives you, receives me. Anyone who receives me, receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be giving the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive righteous person because of their righteousness, you will be giving a reward like theirs. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will be surely rewarded. How many times we get scared to showcase our faith on social media? For those of us who are on social media, I think social media is a great platform to preach the gospel. Oh yeah, I don't have any problem with sharing, you know, your trips, whatever, your pictures. It's awesome. It's good. But I believe social media is a great platform to share the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. But I bet you there are a lot of people in church. They don't want to say that. But now I'll tell you, keep your political view off social media. You know, keep certain things off social media, because it's like, why go on a fight? I've seen some of my friends going on fight on social media for, especially texts. Certain things you want to resolve, communicate, never do it in texts. I love that. My wife helps me a lot. Sometimes I want to resolve something in text. She's like, Ricardo, you remember your words? It's like, yeah, but I got anything. Like, no. You can find time to find the person face to face and talk. Because it saves us a lot of problems. Miscommunication, misinterpretation on text. Great reminder, guys. God's calling us to the next level. I believe that Scott put in other words what I've been saying in the recent 2 months last week. The goal of salvation is not just to pray a prayer and go to heaven. The goal of salvation is to represent Jesus in every situation. But sometimes we fight with our own demons so much. Let Jesus overcome your demons. We fight the demons. So, and then it's like we wake up with our wings broken. Instead, Scott said, he's like, you know, instead of waking up saying, you know what, I'm going to give the devil a bad day. You wake up, Satan's like, man, I'm going to give her a bad day. I'm going to give him a bad day. Oh, he's going to have a bad day. You know, instead of you saying, you know what, devil, whatever you brought at me, guess what? It's going to be a great day. And what would happen if we would be running for our lives? And let me tell you, who's snoring? Oh, okay. She's having a good time. That's good. It's a little girl. God bless her. Sweet dreams, baby. May I tell you guys, put love on as a garment. Put it on. Put it on as a garment. You know, today might be a hard day for a lot of people because they didn't have a father. You know? A lot of people say, well, I don't care about Father's Day. Maybe your father passed or it was a bad experience. But I pray that we can open our hearts to God's love. Because His love is perfect. God's love is perfect. And until you experience it, you won't know what I'm talking about. So that's why I'm inviting you. Let Him in. Let love in. And I want to talk about this before I end. The hindrance of unforgiveness. I talked a couple weeks ago about the hindrance of sin. Listen to what it says in Mark chapter 11. It says, Jesus said, have faith. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not have no doubt in their heart, but believe that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. I mean, that's a huge statement. But it is the word of Jesus. But He's not making reference to a physical mountain. Man, I'm going to show you how powerful I am. Mountain, move from the east, from the west, from right to left. No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. It's like if every situation you find yourself and you pray with faith in your heart and you believe it, no doubt, it says it will happen. But it says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in what prayer, believe that you receive it and it will be yours. Now, Jesus is not also saying, man, I believe for a bigger house. Now, you can believe for a bigger house. There's nothing wrong in believing for a bigger house. But that's not what He's talking about. He's talking about, I will come back to that some other time. When he talks about certain things we face in life, it needs prayer and fasting. It's good to pray for your food. Oh God, thank you for my food, Jesus. Oh, so thankful. I'm so thankful for just this blessings we have to be able to eat whenever we want. Lord, thank you. This prayer is awesome. You go into bed. Father, thank you for a wonderful day. Man, I'm tired, Lord. Thank you for my job, Lord Jesus. Before you even say amen, you fall asleep. Good. That's good prayer. But those prayers cannot deliver you. There are certain results you need to see in your life until you walk, you prayer walking, until you're spending some hours, until you fast, you won't see the result. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus said, listen to this. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, what must you do? So that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. So when you pray, if you hold, and there's another passage in the Bible, it says, when you come to worship, if you remember someone has something against you, stop. Go to that person and fix it. See, God doesn't want us to waste our time, brothers and sisters. Don't waste your time. Anyone you have something against them, forgive them. And I said, I tell you, are you ready for death? Yeah, you thought about that. We don't know when we'll die. Well, we all will die, sooner or later. But am I ready? Am I ready to face my King? But until then, Father God wants you to experience His peace. He wants you to experience His provision. But for that to happen, you must not live in sin. Secondly, you must walk in forgiveness. You must walk in forgiveness. You must forgive. Choose to forgive. Your prayer will not answer unless you forgive. Man, when you forgive, chains are broken. Oh, I don't have time to tell you stories. One of the strongholds in my family is bitterness. We hate each other. I don't know about you, but I come from a family where we don't like each other. It's crazy. I thought, you know, it's like that's the way the family works. We all fight with each other. We all hate each other. I had a cousin. He came from Jacmel, the southeast, to Port-au-Prince to go to school. So my mom told me, my mom says, well, Ricardo, you know, he come. He's here for a couple of weeks. You need to give him your bed to sleep in. So I was like, okay, cool. But then it's been 4 months, mom. He's still sleeping on my bed. And I'm sleeping on the floor. You know, so it's like, so now here I am. Of course, I had a really bad attitude towards that cousin. But of course, my mom, she didn't know how to deal with the situation. And then me and my cousin, we got into a fight. For years, guys, me and this guy, we hate each other. I hated him with a passion. He hated me with a passion. Until Jesus shined his light, start delivering me from unforgiveness, I forgot about him, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And then one day the Lord brought him into my attention. I went to my hometown, I found him. I'm like, man, you know, maybe you don't remember what happened, but this is what happened, this is what happened. I said, I was a child, I was foolish. Would you forgive me? That guy was getting married. He wanted me to be his best man. I end up being his best man. I mean, it was... You must forgive. This awesome friend you have. You invest everything. I don't know who you need to forgive today. My sermon is not on forgiveness, but it's prayer. Unforgiveness will hinder your prayer. It will block your answers. You cannot hold a grudge and have any unforgiveness in your life towards anybody or any situation. That's another one. Situation. Your parents, whatever they did, that's what they did. Move forward. Let it go. If it was for my dad, I wouldn't even finish high school. He stopped paying my school when I really needed him. And guess who's helped him among all of my siblings? Do I want to? No! Do I have to? Yes! Why? Because the word says so. Do I fight doing it? Yes! I'm like, Lord, why am I going to have to do this? My other siblings, they're still struggling with it. I choose to obey. I choose to surrender. I choose to honor him, even though he doesn't deserve honor. I could have cut him. I'm like, man, you are a terrible father. But man, if it wasn't for him, God, where would I be? He's my father. You see the kingdom perspective? You had friends, people in the church, hurt your children, hurt you. What must you do? Answer me. Forgive. Forgive. You must. And I want God to find his place in our midst, to continue to find his place in our midst. As for me in my house, I'm giving him room. We're cleaning up house. I'm cleaning up my heart. I'm living a life free of unforgiveness, of bitterness. But I want our church to experience the same thing. I want you to experience the same thing. I want you to experience freedom, true freedom. I'm sure we want to experience God's forgiveness to the fullness of its capacity. Well, we won't until we give forgiveness to the fullness of its capacity. Alyssa, come to the piano for me. Jesus, I thank you for your word this morning. You are calling us to the next level, Father. You know, what do you need to bring to the altar to Jesus this morning? I want to take this time and give you the opportunity. Once again, I tell you guys, when it comes to the level of experiencing God's forgiveness as a Christian and taking opportunities of the opportunities God's giving me to express His character in all my situations. Oh man, Lord, where do you need to adjust this morning? Father, I thank you for these, your sons and your daughters. Thank you for your work and your word, the seed that's being planted in each of their hearts. Father, I pray this morning that your presence would make their hearts receptive to your word. It would be good soil. And these seeds that were planted, your living word, not my word, but your word, Father. Your word would produce good fruit. Good fruit. Oh, I call forth good fruit. I declare and decree over your life, you will produce good fruit. You will allow the Holy Spirit, when you face your situation tonight, tomorrow, this week, the next week, in the next season, every situation that comes your way, the Lord will be able to use you in this situation. Father, I bless these, your sons and your daughters. Thank you for what you've done here today. We submit to you. We love you, Father. And as we go from this place, Lord, I pray that your peace will dwell in our hearts. Oh, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May His face shine upon you. Because you make the Lord your dwelling, may you find favor in all you do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Messiah, I pray. God's people said, amen. God bless.